Life is often a collision of beliefs and reality, opinions and facts. Back in the mid-1850s or 60s, there was a medical doctor named Ignaz Philipp Semmelweis. He recognized that way too many women and children were dying right after childbirth, and he recognized also that if a person washed their hands before attending to those women and children, the death rate went down dramatically. So he was a proponent of hand washing in order to prevent the death of women and children. But the fellow medical doctors and the medical establishment didn't have a belief like that. And so they ridiculed him into insanity and refused to go along with his supposition. They refused to accept the reality that he could produce much and many fewer births than they did. At 47, he was committed to an asylum. He was beaten by the guards, and he died shortly thereafter. This is not an unusual thing. One of the main problems in the medical establishment today in America is doctors and dentists do not wash their hands frequently enough. They carry infectious agents from patient to patient, and they refuse to listen to reason. Our immune system is the natural healing, protecting, and repairing mechanisms in the body. We could say that that's only inside the body. However, that may not be true. But let's go back to the body. Infectious agents can enter the body in various ways. The air we breathe, the water we drink, breaks in the skin, that is, cuts and injuries that allow bacteria in, the food we eat, the mosquito and other insect bites, and stuff we can take in. We could touch our hands against something and then put our hands to our mouth or our nose or our ears or other orifices. And all of this infectious stuff can penetrate our body. Similarly, I think you can look at the us as an identity as being more than just our body. If I drew a stick figure of our body and then put a circle around it, I would say that's our biofield or auric field or energy field. And as long as that's intact, we're going to be much better off. Now, that's invisible, and some people would dispute that it even exists. But most of us have experienced when somebody was staring at us from across the room, we could feel it. So some system of ours was alerting us to its being contacted by another person. Much like our skin being broken, I believe our identities, our sense of self, can be broken, can be dented, can be damaged, can be shattered. If you were to consider the process of constructing a building, it's a step-by-step process whereby some plans are drawn up and materials are delivered to the area, and then over time, the building is going to be put together. That building is likely to be more vulnerable as it is being built than it will be once the construction is finished and it is structurally sound, when it has structural integrity. If you were to turn around and say, each of us is like a building being constructed, I could say that our bodies were largely assembled, at least for the first 9 months, inside of our mothers, with a little help from our fathers who delivered some building material. And so after a 9-month period, we need to be moved out of that area because of size or maturity, and then it allows us to grow further on the outside. I could define life in a lot of different ways, and one way I'll define it right now as is the involvement of processes for the growth, maintenance, and repair of our body, of our building. Of course, there is much more to us than just our physical bodies. We could say we have a spiritual component, and if we can think, then we could say, well, I've got a mental component as well. And if we can feel emotions, then I would say we have an emotional component. So if we added all these together, our physicality, our spirituality, our mentality, our emotionality, and then what would that combination be? We would then decide on what that means, what it's worth, how valuable is it, what can it do and what can it not do, and we would have what I would call our identity, our view of ourselves that has been constructed. In Florida, there's a joke. Everybody is either a real estate agent or in the process of getting their real estate license. But I would say our identity is our real estate, true estate. It is what is really, really us. It is our main property. It is our main asset. It is our main building. Who we are, who we think we are, why we are alive, the purpose we have for living, what we are capable of, are all part of our identity. If we are happy, it's because of how the identity was built and, more importantly, renovated over the course of our lives. You and I are probably using one or more various energy healing techniques in order to repair and renovate our identities, because some of the building material delivered to us doesn't serve us, never served us early on, and it doesn't serve us now. If we're not happy or we're not healthy, I would say it's because our identity has been built with bricks of suggestions that are negative, and there are negative beliefs were delivered to the building site, and we have not yet repaired or renovated them. So how do we get energetically infected? That all depends. It depends on how and what each of us believe. Some people may say we are born infected, we're born defective, we're born as human beings, and it's all because of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. Adam gets the top billing, and Eve gets the blame. My purpose is not to challenge your religious beliefs today. My purpose is to talk about what we each can do to change our lives once we decide that we want to heal the conditions that we're experiencing in any areas. I believe we can do something about our conditions, and you do too. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this recording, wouldn't be on this call, and wouldn't be interested in the various techniques or any form of healing at all. There are some facts that you and I can agree upon. Facts are facts, that's one. Beliefs are different. Beliefs are beliefs. Now, you may not believe that, you may argue that point, but let me just go on with that idea. About 500 years ago, the belief was that the sun revolved around the earth. Galileo said the fact was different. The fact was that the earth actually revolved around the sun. The most powerful organization in the world at that time threatened to execute him unless he publicly agreed with their belief and disagreed with the facts that he discovered. Human beings still threaten to kill people who don't believe what they believe, even today. So let me go back to you and me. We build our views of ourselves, our views of our family, our views of money, education, opportunity, our views of God, our views of other people, and our view of the world based upon suggestions we received, based upon the beliefs given to us by others and by ourselves, and by our interpretation of facts that we perceived, the events that we participated in. Beliefs are among the most powerful forces on earth. People will do wonderful things because of their beliefs, and people will also do horrible things because of their beliefs. Wars happen because of beliefs, and peace happens because of beliefs. Napoleon Hill wrote several books. Think and Grow Rich was the first one, and it was considered by many to be one of the most significant of all self-improvement books, and it was for me personally. And in his book, among other great things that he said and principles that he discovered and dealt with, he said, "Thoughts are things." Thoughts grow, and they become more powerful, and they influence emotions and behaviors, and they can change what we experience in our lives, and they can be shared with others. And we can unify other people in particular causes or in courses of actions. There are a lot of other phrases we probably could use for thoughts, ideas, concepts, but I want to use thought forms and consciousness forms. That is a thought that is now starting to take on a form and becoming more influential to the person that holds it and also the people with whom that thought form or consciousness form is being shared with. If you have a background that includes any degree of science, I happen to go to college and have microbiology, and I worked in virus research as well. So it's easy to visualize the source of infection. Even as a little child, if you got a splinter in your finger and after a day or some hours you recognized it was starting to turn red, you knew that that splinter in your finger or your hand was starting to get infected, and we heard words like that. We may have heard words like bacteria, staph infection, or other things that were related to childhood illness. Strep throats, or streptococcus bacteria. How about poliovirus and others? Those were things that could be perceived by the five physical senses of human beings, so that makes it very reassuring when it comes to be able to assign blame. If we can see it, we feel a lot better about that. And in those experiences, in those illnesses, if we feared the spread of infections from one person to another because they had an infectious disease, we kept those infected people quarantined. We isolated them. In situations where we don't have the five senses active in perceiving what we're talking about, it's not so easy to comprehend the possibility that we can be infected by ideas and belief. But history is filled with examples of the rapid spread of ideas. We're about to, in the United States, celebrate July 4th. We call it Independence Day. The idea that the colonies should be free of English domination grew into that result. But not everybody was infected with that idea. In the colonies, there were a lot of people who were loyal to the crown. They thought being a colony under the control of the British was a better idea. It was a safer idea. It made more economic sense to them. The wars in Iraq and Afghanistan were first ideas that grew into actual wars. The American Constitution and the Bill of Rights were ideas, and they're written. Maybe not so frequently followed, but they are in written form. Everybody knows about the Protestant Reformation, but not everybody knows that there was a monk from Florence, Italy, named Girolamo Savonarola, who challenged the Catholic Church and the ruling, most powerful families of the time because of their abuse of power and their corruption. Savonarola is considered to be the opening act that grew into the Protestant Reformation, which swept across Europe and has impacted the world. Technologies, back in that day, the printing press made information available to other people, and later on telecommunication, the telegraph, telephone, and so on, helped ideas spread. 100 or so years ago, mandatory education, that's an idea, mandatory education helped people in America be able to learn how to read and write and otherwise process information more effectively. As the population becomes more educated, the ideas they accept get challenged, get scrutinized, get reasoned about before they get accepted. If each one of us were to rate our beliefs, 0 to 10, 10 being most, we believe in them the most, about our levels of these ideas. Just check it out. 0 to 10, 10 being most. What is your level of compassion, prejudice, racism, kindness, generosity, greed, cruelty, tenderness, friendliness, fear, aggression, wealth, poverty, health, illness, happiness, success? If we were to consider those kind of ideas, we would have a better awareness of what thoughts have taken root in our hearts, in our minds. What have we been infected with? Some things we want to be influenced by, other things not so much. Bruce Lipton, a molecular biologist that I refer to regularly, would say that until we were about 6 years old or so, ideas that I would call today seed thoughts, those ideas can be planted in our subconscious mind without our permission and without our knowing. If we're in the company of other people and they're talking, they're expressing emotions, they're sending out vibrations, they're expressing ideas, they are being delivered directly to our subconscious minds. Previously, I talked about a woman in Kansas City who, at the age of 7, believed that she would get cancer and die from it. She did. But why? The answer to the why is because her family planted the seed thought that women in that family get cancer and die from it. And then they regularly reinforced it at the dinner table. We can change our expectations, which are really simple beliefs about what will occur in the future. We can change our expectations. Let me go back to the metaphor of constructing a building. I say that we have, as the building, structures regarding our spiritual nature or our spiritual identity. Our mental capabilities are our mental identity. How do we think about ourselves mentally? We have emotional intelligence to some degree, and that's our emotional identity. And we think about our body and what it's capable of and its acceptability to us and others, and that's our physical identity. And then we can look at our family of origin and consider how good we believe them to be or how bad we consider them to be. And I would say that's part of our family identity. We could look at our career in that same way. We could also look at our financial success or okayness or not. And I would say that's part of our financial identity. There are other structures, such as us being social beings, our leisure activities, our community involvement, our political participation, and the way we maintain physical objects in our lives, cars, our body, our home, possessions that we own. What do we construct our identities out of? Suggestions, ideas that we feed, which in turn, over time, turn into beliefs and fears and opinions and hopes and dreams and prejudices and aspirations and inspirations and facts. Those are all the ingredients that we use to build our identity. Here's my belief, and it's just a belief. It's not a fact. We are born to grow spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. You could say that, well, physical growth and mental growth are facts of existence because we go from a fertilized ovum up to being a baby and up to an infant, up to a teenager, up to an adult. So I'm thinking growth is a fact. And we can't speak a language when we come out of the womb, but over time, mentally, we're able to assimilate language and other skills. So maybe mental growth is a fact. But it's a little bit harder to put a finger on and measure spiritual growth and emotional growth. Here is another belief. The Creator designed growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, rhythm, into life, influenced by spiritual law and order, the law of cause and effect, also known as we reap what we sow. And if we're not experiencing any of those things, growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work and survival, perhaps it's because we're infected with a different belief. If I said we constructed our identities of building blocks, and if those identities that don't bring us closer to our Creator and our fellow man, then the bricks, the building blocks, are faulty beliefs, and they can be renovated, repaired, or replaced. Any belief that diminishes our potential, makes us think we're less than or more than another person, tricks us into saying that our happiness is contingent upon somebody else's behavior or our ability to control somebody else, or worse, that we're separated from our source of being, our Creator, for any reason, can be healed. We can change those. Here's a silly scenario in the medical world. I am not planting a seed thought, so please filter it out as a disease to worry about. You don't need to worry about this. Recognize this is humor. A boy is diagnosed with a newly discovered disease, and his parents are told that the kid has the monkey flying chicken alligator virus. Now, the anxious parents ask the doctor, "How did Billy get the monkey flying chicken alligator virus?" And the doctor seriously replies, "Oh, he must have been exposed to it. Has Billy been around any monkeys or flying chickens and alligators?" Billy was exposed to it. That's the important point here. Billy was exposed to it. If Billy or any of us is cruel, we were exposed to cruelty, and we haven't yet replaced that brick in our identity. Here is another set of questions that may cause you to roll your eyes. Have you been exposed to criticism, sarcasm, judgmentalism, rejection, denigration, enmity, intolerance, hatred, jealousy, aggression, violent impulses, thieving, falsehood, double and devious dealings, or slander? If we have conditions in the structure of our lives, in our identities, in our day-to-day activities and behaviors, not only have some of these energy forms entered us, they have taken root and become energetic infections. What are the symptoms of energetic infections? We transmit these energies to ourselves and to other people. We learn to think that these are normal and natural and inescapable in life, and so we put up with them. We put up with those, and we express all of those negatives that I just described, and we deliver them to other people. We deliver them to people we say we love. We deliver them to our spouses, our children, our pets, our friends, employers, employees, strangers. That is a symptom of energetic infection. So how do we heal from the exposure to these energies? By being willing to think for ourselves, to reconsider and reevaluate the bricks of belief and suggestion that we have received over the course of our lives, and unknowingly and unthinkingly, they have become part of the way we live. To be willing to let go of disharmony and to choose harmony. When you've experienced disharmony, you go, "Oh, well, this is not okay. There's got to be another way." To take one step at a time in the direction of a goal that benefits yourself and other people, like your family and others outside of the family. We can heal by taking another step in the direction of forgiving ourselves and forgiving others, by learning how to respond with love and not out of a negative habit or a knee-jerk reaction, to reevaluate what we perceive today to be a threat. The threats that we saw when we were 1 year old or 2 years old or 3 years old or 10 years old, or the ones we heard from our parents about other people, may not be valid today. We owe it to ourselves and other people to reevaluate, to see if it meets the truth test. And if we can view our previous experiences as gifts of learning instead of events to hate for the rest of our lives, we're going to be better off. We're going to increase our awareness. We're going to take educational value out of these experiences, of which we've had many, many over the course of a normal lifetime. And the ultimate way to heal from exposure to these infectious negative energies is to allow our Creator to work for us, in us, and through us, for the well-being of ourselves, our families, all other people, and the planet. We can do something about it. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 of Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. Wouldn't that be a beautiful belief to bring into our consciousness so we know it? We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.